This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
So there's a young starting reporter in the Flint, Michigan area, Jasmine, TV reporter, who left his job after 1 year. The problem is he had signed a four-year contract, and now the station is going after him for breaking that contract, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty unusual. You don't usually see a station going after a reporter or an employee for money because of a breach of contract. Typically, a lot of that stuff happens behind the scenes, so it doesn't ever hit the press, and so people don't hear about it. But this particular case has gone public, and this reporter is countersuing as well because he says the station did a couple things that were discriminatory against him, and then he got positive reviews, and he was demoted. So there is quite a few things going on here. But the thing that stood out to me was he has a four-year contract very early on in his career, and you hardly ever hear of such a long-term contract for beginning reporters.
Why not? Why a station, you know, they invest some time and money probably training a young reporter. And the tendency, of course, in television is for young reporters to start in a small market and see how quickly they can work their way up to larger markets. So what's wrong with the station trying to protect its investment?
Well, typically they bring these reporters in for pennies on the dollar, it seems. I mean, we're talking a lot of beginner reporters are making low 20s, mid 20s when they leave college. And they're often, like in that four-year contract, they're not going to be given a whole lot of money for every year. I mean, their raises are very minimal. And a lot of reporters really can't live on that from day to day. And I mean, being a TV reporter especially, that is a very visual job. People are looking at you. You have to have the right wardrobe. You have to look. I mean, your appearance is very important there. I mean, there are a lot of things that you have to do for upkeep, and it's expensive what it turns out to be after getting your education.
Do television stations provide reporters with a clothing allowance, or is that really coming out of your paycheck, basically?
Not all of them. Most stations, small stations I've known, will do like a hair allowance and sometimes some makeup. Otherwise, the wardrobe is usually on the reporter themselves.
Well, Will, you and me, a television station, would not have to spend much on a hair allowance, I must say.
No, certainly me. But what I've seen from my time in the on the print side in the St. Louis market on the periphery, it's not also unusual to see a lot of the talent jump from station to station, even within that own market or, mm-hmm. or outside. As a matter of fact, the St. Louis market here, within the last 2 or 3 years, have seen a lot of folks coming and going quite a bit. So it can be, I don't know if unstable is the word, but there's a lot of turnover. And I think I could maybe see a justification for a longer-term contract, upwards of 4 years. Now, I never worked under a contract or a large enough newspaper to be in a union shop, but I have seen and noticed, as we've been talking about, these more stringent, strict contract requirements. And it just makes me wonder, in an industry that is already maybe kind of suffering to a certain extent to attract talent sometimes, why they need to even make it more difficult.
I've never had to sign a contract either. It's always been handshake deals in radio. I did at a small station that was paying me virtually nothing. I did have to sign a non-compete contract. I don't know if you've ever had to sign something. These seem more broadcasting-oriented, Will, than newspaper-oriented.
That's been my experience, and I did some broadcast work, mostly as an intern, as an undergraduate, not a graduate, and a graduate. But it seems to me that seems to be the practice. On the print side, you were either at a newspaper where you worked under a handshake, or if you had a large enough daily metro, you worked under the union.
Yeah, well, I've signed a non-compete contract, and I've signed a contract where it was a 2-year deal, and I ended up breaking it to come here to teach at WIU. But I was allowed to break it because I was leaving the field. I was leaving the industry, mm-hmm. is how they saw it. So that's usually what happens, is that if you sign a contract, there are in West Virginia and Ohio, where I was actually based out of Ohio, I couldn't work within, I think, a 90-mile radius of the station, which meant that, I mean, in all actuality, if I wanted to stay in TV, I wouldn't have been able to commute anywhere from my home. in that area. That would have been really difficult for me to stay there and leave that station by breaking the contract. And things happen where there are plenty of anchors who've done this. They leave to come back. So they will move away for a couple years to let their contract die out if they break it, and then they'll come back to a competitor. And that happens in states that allow non-competes. In Illinois, they don't allow non-competes. However, I do know of some of my students and some people in this business in Illinois who have been made to sign these contracts with non-compete clauses in them, and they're pretty much threatened to they can't work in the business if they leave the station, even though that won't hold up in court.
Well, you know, I raised some questions at the beginning of the program, just sort of devil's advocate, and I really thought non-competes were pretty much just something that happened in the broadcasting industry, but we did recently have a settlement in Illinois with the Jimmy John's sandwich chain, which has agreed to stop requiring its workers, its sandwich makers, to sign non-compete contracts. This is not about protecting your business. This is about really a business trying to maintain control over its low-paid employees. Yeah. That's my thinking.
And that's my thinking too. And I find it really unfortunate that that people who are making so little, and that's what bothers me. A contract is okay if someone is getting a fair wage for what they do for the business, but reporters and anchors, they all work really, really hard to turn stories every day, and there's a lot of people who might be working against them on a daily basis. It's a difficult job. And for people to only get paid very little and then be told you have to stay here for 4 years getting paid very little, I mean, that's a long time for a beginning reporter and anchor. It used to be custom for people who are making more money, and they were the anchors of that station. So, yeah, they invested plenty of money on billboards and television promos and ads and advertising these anchors on TV you see all the time. But now we're just seeing some of the little people behind the scenes, including people like me, who was a producer that no one ever saw behind the scenes, but I wrote the show. And I'm, you know, people like that, they're also included in these contracts.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see maybe some brushback. These seem to be far-reaching contracts, whether it being from the restaurant side or the press journalism side. And I think we need to maybe address them like we are today.
All right. We need to wrap things up for today. But our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.